Growing the Game with Ballsy. He's brought to you by Pizza Hut in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigree, durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at rivièreagseeds.ca. This is Growing the Game with Ballsy, a podcast dedicated to growing the sport of football in Saskatchewan. Now, here's Ballsy.
We're here with one of the greats in the Canadian Football League, Wally Buono, as we embark on training camp. Mr. Buono, you're not a part of training camp for the first time in, oh gosh, decades. How does that feel for you?
Well, you know what? It is a little strange, but, I would have been at probably my 51st or 52nd training camp if you include college and all the years in the CFL. So, you know, change is good, but sometimes it takes time to adapt to it.
So what are you doing, Wally, to adapt to it?
Well, my wife promised me that once we retired, we would be doing a lot of traveling, which at this point we've done. We've been on the road a lot. Right now I'm in Seattle actually taking care of my grandkids so my daughter and her husband can get away on a little bit of retreat. I think it's their wedding anniversary, and they've been gone for a few days.
Hey, is Wally Buono going to be the grandpa that coaches his grandkids?
My wife keeps telling me stop coaching, but I guess I am a little bit, right? We had fun with my grandkids. We go to the park and play soccer and just do little things like that so that, life can be fine, right?
Wally Buono, what turned you on to football back in the day? How did you become involved in this great sport?
Well, you know what? That's a long, long story. But the thing is, a young guy who was coaching in Montreal saw us hanging around. And instead of getting in trouble, he invited us to come out to his football team. And, you know, at the age of 12, we started football and he was a very instrumental part in our development that way. And he actually went on to coach, to play for the Alouettes. And, it's just somebody taking an interest in a young fellow and giving them an opportunity to be a part of something.
Which coach, when you were coming up through the ranks, albeit at the young level, like you just mentioned, Wally, or college, or your early days of professional football, which coach kind of influenced you?
Well, I had a lot of influential coaches. You know, obviously the most notable is Marv Levy. Marv was a great head coach. He did a lot to, give players ownership and, give players a sense of belonging. And, he really appealed to your manhood and to your pride. And, he treated us always like pros. And so he was a tremendous mentor as a head coach. And two guys that really were very influential in teaching us football were Rod Rust, who mm-hmm. coached us with the Alouettes, and then Dick Roach. Both, great students of the game, both great teachers of the game, and, in their own way, they had a big influence on us and how we did football and how later on we used that to coach.
When you played, and more specifically in the pros, when you played, did you have an idea that, hey, maybe I want to continue as a coach down the line? Or when did that come upon you, Wally?
Well, if I go back and think about it, that wasn't a driving force at all. The way, as I said, we were coached, we were given ownership of the defense. So, it was our responsibility to call the game and, so from that point of view, you had to study harder and you had to put more time in. And I think as my career started to wind down, the one thing I started to realize is that, teaching football is something that I enjoy doing. And, as a veteran, you always try to help the young guys. And when I was given an opportunity by Joe Collat to coach the junior team in Montreal, I took it. And, from there, he hired me the next year to be a linebacker coach.
What's the one thing you think you need as a head coach to be a good head coach, or just a coach in general, Wally? What's one characteristic, Wally Buono, you think every coach needs to have to be that guy?
Well, you know what? That's a tough question. You know, obviously, you got to be a person that can lead, and people, you know, will respect enough to follow. And you know, that can be done in a lot of different ways. When you look at, you know, who a guy who I have a tremendous amount of respect for, Don Matthews. Maybe Don Matthews and I are as complete an opposite as you're going to get. And you know, we were very good friends. And you know, and Don was a tremendous coach, and he coached his way, and I coach my way. And but I think the one thing, the players have to respect you, and they got to believe in what you're selling, because at the end of the day, you know, that's what I think motivates the players. And as a coach, you got to be able to communicate to them, you know, what your vision is, what your goal is. And once they buy in, you know, then the sky's the limit.
Do you have to be a bit of an actor, Wally Buono?
Well, you got to be yourself, if that means. No, I've always said to coaches who started, you know, just be you. Don't be me. Don't be Don Matthews. You know, don't be anybody else other than you. I mean, people see through who you're not, and it's hard to be somebody else. So, you know, obviously, you got to be able to, you know, hold the room, and you got to be able to, you know, drive the players and the coaches. But at the end of it, you know, you got to be you. You got to have your beliefs, and you got to stick to them.
You know, when I see Wally Buono from afar as a reporter, I see a guy that's very put together, guy that's very in charge, very businesslike. How is Wally Buono, that guy, different than Wally Buono in his inner circle? Because I know you were quoted somewhere as saying, you know, you're a different guy in front of the players and a different guy in your home life. What don't we know about Wally Buono?
What you probably don't know is I'm just, you know, down to earth. And as my wife occasionally reminds me, says, Wally, you know, put that coaching voice aside and be a father, be a husband, and be a grandfather. So, you know, when you get home, you put on the old raggedy sweatsuit and, you know, you do the things that you enjoy when you're in front of your team or in front of the media, in front of the fans. You know, there's a persona that you have to carry because, again, you're not representing necessarily just yourself. You're representing the CFL and the team that you're associated with.
One of the greatest ever in Canadian Football League history, Wally Buono joining us here. Wally, can you be liked and respected at the same time as a head coach?
Well, I think you can. You know, obviously, you know, the thing, most important thing I've always felt is that you got to be respected. You know, and being respected is a lot of things to a lot of people. But, you know, if you want to be liked, you know, then you're not going to be respected because, you know, players want to know that the person that they're following is in charge, that he can help you achieve your goals. And at the end of it, you know, he can do the things that need to be done to help you win. And when you look at, you know, free agency, a lot of teams don't get the best players because those players don't believe you can win. The players have to believe your organization's going to give them a chance to win, and when you do that, obviously they'll come.
Wally, how tough was it to be a GM and a coach at the same time? And by that I mean you got to go sit in a room with the guy and his agent or his agent and tell him what you think of him on the business side because you're trying to crunch numbers, and then you got to go on the field and coach the guy under a different hat. How tough was it to be a coach and a GM?
Well, you know what? That is a tough scenario when you wear both hats, but you know, one of the things I always used to tell the players is that I was, you know, either your best friend or your worst enemy because, you know, as the head coach, you know exactly what goes on, you know, with your players. You know exactly what goes on with your locker room. You know the guys who are, you know, let's just say, you know, the driving force behind your football team. You know the players that have played beyond their expectations. And you know, so when you know that, when you become the general manager, you know, I think you also understand which players you probably would take care of more. And when you look at, you know, my history, I've had a lot of players that have had great careers that have stayed with me for a long, long time. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, when you know those nucleus players, you always take care of them, you know. But, you know, it's becoming a more of a difficult job, I think, than it ever was. You know, I said, even last year when I hired Ed Herbie, that it no longer is a job that really one person can do well. You need almost two different people because, you know, the GM today is so much more complicated, so much more at stake than it was 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And, you know, that guy there has to be, to split the responsibilities today is way, way more difficult than it was when I was doing it.
I was pretty impressed with you towards the end of your career, Wally, that you were able to, you're old school. You come from a different era in terms of coming up and playing and coaching, but you were able to adapt and be versatile towards the end. Was it a little bit challenging or a little bit different for you to deal with today's athlete as opposed to even a guy 15, 20 years ago?
Well, it's not only today's athlete, it's also today's coaches and today's everything. I mean, everything is so totally, totally different than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. So, you know what, I think as you get older, you're not as stubborn. Maybe you're not as stuck in your ways and you start to see things around you that, that can be very beneficial. I know Jarius Jackson last year, when we hired him as our offensive coordinator, you know, I think brought in some good ideas that we were able to adapt. And, that's because, again, he was around Chris Jones, who I think was very innovative and very up to date. So, you know, as you get older, sometimes you become a little bit more flexible because you realize that the people that work for you have a lot of resources that they've, gotten into. They have a lot of contacts. And things are changing and how you can best build your football team, how you can best coach your football team sometimes does demand change.
We've got a couple of more quick questions with Wally Buono. It's going to be a night with Wally Buono with Regina Thunder here coming up this week, May the 23rd at the International Trade Center. Can't wait to go more in depth with Wally, but I do want to ask you this. Analytics is big in the world of sports now, be it baseball, be it football. People crunch numbers. One of Wally Buono's best traits, in my opinion, you knew when a guy was at the end of his career and you were able to separate maybe, heartstring friendship with business. Wally, did you use numbers to say, okay, it's time we move on from this guy, or was it more a gut thing being around the guy and doing the eyeball test?
Well, again, you know, I'm not going to put down numbers because numbers do have tremendous value. And I know that in my last couple of years, we did use the analytics, especially, during the draft, to try to, assess players and figure out how they fit in. But, as I've always said to the players and to coaches and to fans and to media, you know, believe what you see. Believe your eyes. Don't let your emotions get in the way. And, if you just know what you're looking for, players that get older, they start to lose certain things. And when you start to see that, you want to be ahead of the game. And, fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at, that's something that, as a GM and as a head coach, you have to have that responsibility to make those tough decisions.
Okay, man, you're not in the game anymore, okay? So you can break it down for me. How tough are those conversations, though? Like, having to say, okay, that's it, Jason Claremont, or that's it, G. Roy Simon, or that's it, whoever. Like, how tough are those conversations when those guys battled for you and left it on the field for Wally Buono?
Well, but that's what makes them tough. It's you are where you are because of them, not because of you. I mean, as I've said to, team after team after team and player after player, I've never seen a coach win a football game. I've seen players win football games because between the white lines are players, not coaches. I know I get on the field a lot and I get in trouble for it, but, players are the ones that play and, so at the end of it, when a guy who's been with you for 12, 13 years, you have to tell him that he doesn't fit into your plans. It's not a very pleasant thing. But yet I think you have to, do it because you're responsible to the organization. You're responsible to the coaches and to the players. And you're also responsible to the fans to make those kind of decisions. If you're afraid to make them, then you won't be in this business very long.
Okay, one other thing I really liked about you, the game changes, right? We talk analytics, we talk instant replay, we talk all of this stuff. We talk coaches. The coaching staffs have grown, and guys wear headsets. Wally Buono didn't wear a headset when he was a head coach. At least I don't remember in the last 10, 15 years. I found that, you know, kind of great because it spoke to me like this guy has a handle on his football team. He doesn't need to be on the headset barking at guys. Why didn't Wally want to wear a headset?
Well, there was a number of things. You know, first, I used to hate it when we had the cord and everybody would step on you. And then usually by the game end, half the games, you'd lose the headset anyway.
Yeah.
You know, then it came to where we were only having so many headsets. I think we were only allowed to have three down or something like that. And I just felt it was more important for one of the assistant coaches, especially our offensive line coach, to be able to communicate, with the coordinators, with the other offensive coaches. So I gave that up. And, you know, what I started to realize is that when you don't have a headset, you're not as limited in coaching your team, and you're not as limited as controlling your sideline. You're not as limited in dealing with the calls, and so I felt from that point of view, when you assess the two values, for me the greater value was it being able to manage the game, coach the game without the headsets, because when you got the headsets on, most of the time you're pretty much zoned into what the coordinators are saying. And I felt with great coordinators I've had, they're probably way better prepared than I was anyway. So if I needed to find out what you were calling, I just went over and talked to you. And if I wanted you to do something, I just came over without a headset and just said, hey, can we do a little bit more of this and a little bit more of that? And, so I found it to be good. As I said to you before, be who you are and do what you think is the right thing. And at the end of it, you'll always feel like you've done the right thing.
Can't wait for a night with Wally Buono. I've never interviewed this guy one-on-one. I get to do that here, and I get to do it on the stage on Thursday, May 23rd at the International Trade Center. Greatest coach in CFL history. Thanks for this, Wally.
Appreciate it, guys, and looking forward to coming on Thursday. Always like celebrating championships, and obviously that's what we're doing that night.
That was another installment of Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a story idea you'd like Michael Ball to pursue, please email him at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.